Parenting's hard, you don't know what to do. You're blaming your kids, but it's probably you. You love your kids and that you can trust. Just remember your kids don't suck.
Welcome to Your Kids Don't Suck, cultivating closeness with your children through non-coercive conscious parenting. We're your hosts, Kara Tedstone and Rathia Lee. Let's dive in and grow together.
Welcome back to Your Kids Don't Suck, the podcast we are addicted to. Is that enough that we're addicted to it? I hope you are becoming addicted as well. It's so great to have all of these thoughts about non-coercive collaborative parenting and passions and feelings to start to form into this whole way of life, of living, you know, and the more we talk about it, the clearer we get about it. And also in terms of Your Kids Don't Suck, I can't tell you how much my suckiness comes to the top of my awareness, as hard as I am trying, deeply hard, we are both trying to take authoritarianism out of our parenting. It is so difficult, even though it's like a full-time job, even though we're trying with all of our might. So I hope you're having some compassion for yourself. If you're even just imagining doing this, if you've just begun doing it, if you're in the middle of it, if you're far into it like we are, and you still feel like you're drowning and failing, that's normal.
Mm. Yeah, so true. So true. Well, Rathia and I talk every day and we ask each other all the time, how are you and how's it going? And we're always like, well, I'm triggered and this is happening. And then we give each other feedback. So we thought we'd jump in and ask each other how we're doing and kind of show how that goes for you all. So who wants to start? Rathia, do you want to tell me how you're doing?
Sure. I think I'm in a, you know, I feel like I was just feeling really great like a week ago. And now I'm feeling like I suck. I feel like I suck right now. Just this morning, while we were all leaving messages for each other, I'm like, I want to write my daughter an apology letter, because now I can think of 10 things that I've done that I regret this week. I say things that I regret and I want to apologize for all of them. So I'm thinking of writing her a letter and reading it to her. Oh. I'm sorry when I said that Dunkin' Donuts has terrible chemicals in it as a way to control you eating them. I'm sorry I said you should try to work on your homework and make it better, because that's really up to you. And I don't really want to be the arms and legs of the public school system. I don't know, all this shit. I mean, there's a whole list. I'm sorry I tried to get into your business when you tried to set your boundary with me that you didn't want to talk about it and I wouldn't let up. And I mean, there's just like, it's endless. It's endless how many mistakes I'm making. Yesterday, Tori and I had this, she was like, why are you so annoying? Why can't you just, she was like, why can't you just drop it? Because she had this big conflict with her friend and I wanted to know more. She said they resolved it. And I said, well, how did you resolve it? She's like, I don't want to talk about it. And I was like, can you just give me like a tiny little synopsis? And she's like, why are you being so annoying? Why are you pulling on me? And I'm like, because I'm used to being like heavily involved and now I'm not. And she was like, you're still very involved. And I was like, I am. And she's like, yes. And I was like, okay. And she also goes, stop being a child. And I'm like, I do feel like a child, you know, I feel like a child, let me in, mommy, don't leave me out, like, include me. So sad. Anyway, so I feel like I really feel as my daughter's getting more independent, like my shit is so in my face, my neediness, my fear of losing her. And it's I get clear. I'm like, you have to let go and you have to stop pulling on her and you have to just be there. Like, what I keep getting from my intuition is just be there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when she gets in the car, I have to pick her up from school. My intuition is instructing me, just be there. Just don't say anything. Let her decide where this is going to go. I can't do it. I sit there and I meditate. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to ask a lot of questions. I'm just going to be present. And I'm so triggered that I cannot do it. I have to ask her a question. What happened? How was science? How's your friend? Blah, blah, blah. Like, I can't stop.
Yeah. It's so funny, isn't it? Because we've had conversations about how parents can show up for their teens when the teen is directly asking for space. And we've talked about this on the show. And then, like, it's kind of good to let people know that, like, just because we talk about it and we can look at Like, for example, for me, I work with parents all the time too. We both do. We can often see what's happening very clearly. But the point of this show is to tell you that we are blind to our own fuck ups, even if we know what's happening. Like, Rithia is telling you exactly what's going on, and yet she's like, I cannot stop. So it's just really important, I think, and I'm saying this to myself too, and that's why it's so nice to be able to talk directly to Rithia, because you're not alone in maybe knowing to be better and not actually embodying that.
Thank you so much. It's so true. And it goes in waves.
Yes.
You know what, Kara, last night, I always lie in bed with Tori to put her to sleep, which is like my favorite time of the day with her. And we started singing all the songs from Wicked at the top of our lungs, at
The
the top
best.
of our lungs. And she's like, and she, even though she has school tomorrow, she goes, "That's it, we're doing karaoke." And she gets up and she gets out the
Yes.
computer. And then we had to sing all the songs again with all the karaoke music. And
That's
I was just
awesome.
like, and I had just spent the whole day telling myself, I'm losing her. We're not connected. I'm doing it wrong. I should be in there, And it's like but there we were singing karaoke. And then she falls asleep with like my arms around her. Oh my God, it's the best thing ever. Oh, and I'm like, yeah, I don't know what my point of that. My point is we are connected. I keep thinking we're not connected, and we are connected.
Yeah.
And oh, the fact is, I was not connected to my mother, and I think that's what this is all really about, is that I wasn't connected to my mother, and she didn't know what was going on with me. She
Yeah.
wasn't in there, and I'm so scared that I'm doing that with her when I don't know what's going on with Tori, and she wants to keep it to herself. I start to panic, like I'm like, oh no, I'm being like my mother, and I'm not in there with her,
Yeah. Yeah, and Tori's telling you, she's like, what are you talking about? We are connected. I tell you so much. Like, give me a break. And it's she's right. You know, she's right. And if she's not telling you things and she's keeping things, it's like Vivek was saying, you know, we're in a group chat with Vivek too, thank God. And he's like saying, like, well, you know, if I don't want to tell somebody something, it's probably because I'm doing my own process right now. And I'm taking the time to check in with myself and make decisions. And it's not up to us to direct our kids into when they should share information with us. It's up to us to trust their process. But just because we can say all that with this language here, it doesn't mean it's easy to do. But she's also guiding you there again. She's reminding you, fuck off, mom. Like, I trust me, we're close. We're good. It's fine. You don't need to keep doing that. And still, it's
Yeah.
very hard.
Yeah, even though she keeps telling me, I still keep doing it. And I think that that's why this takes so long. And then sometimes you finally get a grip on your own shit, and then they go into a completely different developmental stage. Now you're fucked in a completely different way. You're like, I finally get the toddler thing, right? And then they like move on to like the next thing. I mean, it's just crazy.
It
It's
is
the
crazy. It's like whiplash. It's
crazy
such a
town.
roller coaster. It's such a roller coaster. It's really, really hard. That's why it's like, yeah, last week you're good. This week you're not. Next week you'll probably be fine and you'll go back and forth. There's just so many different needs all the time.
And I want to say, if it wasn't this podcast, if we weren't talking about this philosophy, we would probably be focused on what is wrong with my daughter. I'm serious. That's what most people would do. Well, why isn't she telling you? What is she up to? And what is she keeping from you? And blah, 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 would be all about her, because that's what most parenting paradigms are about, is fixing the kid. And I feel like whenever things are hard, it's me. It really is me, because it means I have to figure out how to show up differently, with more love, no matter how, of course she's wounded, of course she's has patterns and all kinds of shit going on. She does, but that's not the issue.
The whole, like, my whole thing is I'm just constantly trying to attune. Like, I'm like out of the attunement, and then I'm like trying to get back in, and I'm out of it, and I'm trying to get back in, and all the time the feedback is like trying to push me back to being attuned. And right now, Tori's like, shut up. You know, I don't need it right now. Maybe next week I will, but right now I don't need it. And you're like, okay, I'll try. And
But then we did
also,
karaoke for an hour.
but
Like,
then you
that's
did
a commitment.
karaoke.
It's like that's attunement, you know? It's like, what do I know what the attunement is supposed to look like? It's not her not talking to me like I'm her therapist, you know? Like I expect her to just like spill her guts and just tell me everything that's going on with all of her friends and her team. And that's not happening right now. That's
No, and
not.
it's like for me, I often am like, what the hell? I'm a non-coercive collaborative parent. Why is my toddler still yelling in my face? Like, I'm like, why is this the
You're
feedback?
checking now. Go ahead. How are you
Right.
doing?
Well, because yeah, this is like something that's been really just difficult for a long time with my kid. My kid just is very strong in like letting me know, giving me feedback if I'm not doing something that she's okay with. So I guess one part of my struggle recently, which I've talked about like so many times, probably on this show, and it's ongoing, is just the struggle of like, oh, why aren't I good enough? I guess like if I'm upsetting her, if I'm not attuning right, and she's screaming no in my face, or I don't like that, or I can't elicit cooperation or collaboration, it's me feeling like a failure. And that's like my own stuff. Like that's my own stuff coming up, because the fact is even if we're non-coercive collaborative parents, our children are still going to tell us that we're assholes. We're still not going to be all the time in this like perfect flow state. Our kids are still going to be who they are in front of us, and they're still going to point us into the direction, and we're going to frustrate each other, and all the things are going to happen in a family system.
You read what Vivek wrote about kids that are not behaving?
Yes. Okay. I should say Vivek wrote us a message, but he did say he wants to reword it. So I don't know if he wants us to read it, like how he said it, but I'm going to anyway.
Okay.
Just so you all know, like if he puts this on Instagram, I'm sure he'll edit it. He'll tweak it. This just came, off the tip
We
of
were
his
all
tongue today.
texting
We were
furiously
all
this morning.
texting. Right. And we were talking about, obedience. And he said, I would much rather work with disobedient people in the context of being an employer or an employee. He said, I would much rather work with disobedient people who care about me as a human being than obedient people who are raised through dehumanization.
Wow. Because I was wondering, that's the reason I wanted you to read that is. Could you imagine? I don't want to invalidate how triggering it is when she yells in your face, okay? Like I don't want to like poo-poo that or like dismiss that. But could you imagine a shift of perspective where when she yells in your face, it's awesome and beautiful because she's being disobedient?
That's where my like work is. Like, I think for you, you're saying like, I can't bite my tongue. I just can't. I have to ask her for more information. And I think you do have the lens where you see Tori's feedback as like so amazing. You're like, thank God she's telling me to shut the fuck up. This is how I,
Yeah.
what a gift. So I do see my daughter's yelling in my face as a gift and as like a thank God she's not just a people-pleasing robot for me. Thank goodness.
Right.
But the pain, the where I get overwhelmed, where I get triggered, comes from, I think, this clash where I think like, I was not allowed to do that as a child. And so deep inside in my nervous system is this felt sense of like, you're a bad parent when your child yells in your face. So it's not even like I already see my child in the way that I'm working towards. That actually has never really been the issue, if you know what I'm saying. It's
Yeah.
deep in my gut, this like, you're a fucking failure as a mother. That's what slaps me in the face when she does that.
Or do you think that your parents felt that way, obviously, when you yelled?
Yeah, I think so. I think like
Because
yelling in my
it
parents'
was
face was
bad.
unacceptable. Yeah,
Right.
yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, and like, not like being too loud in a grocery store, like making a scene. Certainly, I feel that when I go in the grocery store with my little toddler, I feel eyes on me. I feel now that also could be an enhanced experience because of my own childhood trauma, but there's also definitely a very real expectation in society that children are seen and not heard. So there's so many things going on. And
Especially
because
girl
girls,
children.
oh my God, yeah, she's supposed to be like, and she's also like, as she gets
Supposed to
older,
be sweet and, responsive.
responsive. And as she gets older, it just feels, I think, harder because babies, okay, a baby can squeal, they don't know any better. But as she's going to get older,
Right.
I think that's just going to be harder for me if she doesn't kind of like, quote unquote, get it together and we don't find a new way. Like, imagine if she's five still screaming at me. I've worked with so many kids who are five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, and it goes on and on, and they still do scream at their parents.
Right.
And I have to find a way to get regulated at least with that. Like that's what I'm working towards. So I had this therapy session recently that inspired me to write a post on like this parts process. But so that's on my Instagram and you can check it out. But I was talking to my therapist about all my different parts that are at play in those moments. And we kind of realized like Aaliyah becomes another critic for me in those moments. Aaliyah
Oh.
is like screaming in my face, no. She's going, unconsciously to me, I'm receiving that as you're not fucking good enough. It's not good enough. You're not right. You're not being gentle enough. You're not being collaborative enough. You're a bad mom. And
Okay.
that just like makes me want to like run away and cry and like hide. And
She becomes your oppressor in that moment.
So then I feel like a victim and
Right.
I'm like, I don't get enough space from her. She's too needy. Like I need her to give me a minute. She won't. She follows me. And it's just like, it's so fucking intense. And it's like the same with you. A couple weeks ago, we were in like this wicked flow state of just like ease. Like we've been in and out. And now she's kind of going through something developmentally, I'm sure, that is really whiny, really needy, really like yelly, cryy, super, super emotional. Black is white and, down is up and all the things are wrong. And it's hard for me to like,
Wow, like that must fuck up your perfectionism so bad. Like it
right,
must,
because the perfectionism
yeah.
tells me directly, Kara, you are responsible
Right.
for keeping her happy.
Yeah.
And when she's upset, you have failed. And
Yes,
I have
I
felt
have.
like that since birth, honestly. I have
Oh,
felt
me
like
too.
that
I have
since
the
birth.
same exact thing. And I have to go
It's
through this
painful.
whole process where I'm like, wait a minute. My daughter's allowed to have pain. Like she's allowed to go through pain. Because see, my parents didn't let me go through pain. I mean, they caused me pain and then I wasn't allowed to show it, and that's an extreme situation. But I don't want to pass that down that I need her to be happy all the time. And that's what my parents needed me to be happy. It's like it's shocking to me that I mean, I think it's also normal. Like we want our children to be happy. Like it's also biological. We want them to feel good, love themselves, and feel happy in their lives, and be having a childhood. Like, that's also normal. But I still feel like I have to make space for her to go through hard times. Like, we have to make space for our kids to have pain and to suffer. I can't believe
We
how hard
really
it is.
do.
I can't believe how hard it is.
It's so hard. It's so hard. And I also wonder if people, I do wonder if people who are like drawn to this path are prone, because we were just talking about this, Ruthia, with some of the questions we were going to like go over in this episode, some listener questions. Like not wanting to guide your kids because, like, God forbid you cause them unhappiness, or you don't want to be coercive. And I know I've landed into that. I have internally. I'm like, I don't want to upset her, or I don't want to be coercive. And, like we have our moments too where it's like been a lot of TV, and I know she's going to be super dysregulated if we keep watching more. And I don't know how to guide, or I don't feel like I have the spoons. Like I don't want to just switch off the TV in the middle of an episode. I will never do that. But I feel like I don't have the fucking capacity for like a collaboration, a negotiation, or like to figure out what's a creative way to guide her.
That is why we're doing this podcast, because it's a big bunch of skills. And it starts with just shutting up for a minute. Like, you know what I mean? It starts with, wait, don't do your innate reactive thing. It starts with pause, you know. But I do think that people really don't want to be as controlling with their kids as they experience as kids. Like, they don't want to be controlling. So then it comes to the extreme that they actually don't even know how to engage because they're trying so hard not to be controlling. So we are going to talk about that more in a little bit later in this episode by answering or talking about a situation where someone I talked to didn't know how to guide her kid because she was trying so hard to be non-coercive. I have a non-coercive collaborative Facebook group now for people who have taken my support groups or coached with me. And somebody sent in this really great question, situation, issue. And then I responded, and it turned out the whole thing is just fascinating. I just got to find out where the hell did it go. All right. First, thank you, Ruthia, for starting this group. It's so refreshing to be able to hear multiple wise perspectives on specific issues. I would love to hear your thoughts, ideas, and suggestions about how my almost 4-year-old daughter treats our cat. When she's dysregulated, she grabs and holds or even kicks her. There have been times when I have worried she might injure or kill the cat by squeezing, jumping, or lying on her. She also pets and holds her when she is regulated, but will not willingly let her go and quickly becomes dysregulated. She chases her, shuts her up in rooms, and more. Here are some approaches I have taken. Affirming the validity of my daughter's impulses, you love the cat, she's so soft, etc. Asking her to hold me and or control me or direct me. Distracting her with an enticing invitation to do something unrelated. Helping her notice the cat's cues of well-being or discomfort. As I write this, I realize it would be helpful to ask my daughter how her body feels when she perceives the various cues from the cat. Helping her notice how she feels when she is gentle and the cat purrs and chooses to stay with her. These are all the things she's tried. I found a stuffed cat that looks like ours and I filled it with sand. Take as close and inanimate facsimile as possible for her to do whatever she wants with. She loves it, but it did not change, what she does with the cat. Leaving it up to them to figure it out. We abandoned this because the cat would allow extreme injury before she would bite or scratch my daughter. Making her the cat's special caretaker, making sure she has everything she needs, food, water, the door opened or closed, a toy, a warm place to snuggle, personal space, etc. This is a new approach, and I have yet to see if it has long-term effects. Prying her off. We hate doing this, but my husband and I agree that there has to be a hard boundary around keeping the cat safe, and sometimes this is all we've got. I want to be non-coercive and collaborative, but I cannot allow physically harmful expressions of love from a person with underdeveloped impulse control when it endangers the well-being of another being. I feel really stuck between a rock and a hard place. This has been going on since my daughter could first grab a tail. What alternative path am I not seeing? Okay.
First of all, I love how many things this parent tried. Like, this
Unbelievable.
parent, that is just so touching. Like, oh my God, just the amount of care in this note.
I think I said that. I said, you are amazing. The things you have already tried are absolutely wonderful. Just because things haven't changed doesn't mean they're not working. There are many issues with our kids that just take time of persistent play, intervention with love, sometimes distraction and all the things you're doing, and it just have to wait till they get to a certain level of their development. So true. I know
So
it's very
true.
difficult. I asked a few questions. Have you worked on your own triggers around this? Sometimes our children are acting out things within us. So that's always something to explore. The other suggestion I have is to do imaginative play where she is the cat and you jokingly do the things she does to the cat on her and see if you can get her to really laugh about it and also have her do those things on you. And you say things like, I'm dying, and be really funny about it. You are looking for her to release and get a big laugh out of it. I know it's very hard to practice no wrongness. But that is paramount. As long as she feels judged, she's going to be testing you. You could actually intervene and keep your cat safe without expressing wrongness. This is really important, what I just said. It's an art. I have so much more to say about this, but it's very hard to fit it all in here. My daughter hit other children for years, and I would get my body in there and I would express love for her, but I would not make her wrong. I did everything in my power not to shame her, and I think that's very important. I'm not saying you don't keep. You shouldn't keep your cat safe. You should still keep your cat safe. Yes, we're looking for the underlying needs. I didn't say the underlying needs thing yet. I don't know where it is. Yes, Ruthia, we're looking for the underlying needs. It's tricky to sometimes to figure it out. Thanks so much for the role play idea. I tried it tonight and she ate it up, asking for more and more. We have a plan to do it again first thing in the morning. I'm not sure where it will go. Or what exactly she's getting out of it, but it was very therapeutic and engaging for her. Isn't that amazing?
Does she say more about what it looked like, the play?
Yeah, there's more. But then she said, I had asked if she gets triggered, and she said, I feel particularly triggered. I don't get triggered until I get really scared that the cat will be hurt. And then I get upset in a way that my daughter does feel. This doesn't feel to me like an emotional reminder of a past personal trauma. And I suppose I get upset at the sheer persistence of the issue. It's so exhausting to stay on it constantly for so long. Okay, so then I wrote, I'm so happy the role playing was helpful and you were able to do it. That says so much about you as a parent. You don't have to understand intellectually why she's liking the role play. It's not a linear. Wait. In a linear way. Okay, you don't have to understand why she's liking this role play in a linear way, but here's a few reasons why it could be. One, power. She feels powerless, and she is, as a child who is totally at the mercy of things. And this thing with the cat is her trying to grapple with that. When you do the role playing part, you get to consciously work with power. Ooh, that's so good. Two, when children laugh, they are releasing stress. My daughter used to laugh and still does at things, and it helps her regulate because she's not great at crying. Number three, when you are part of the role play, it helps your daughter feel not alone in the things she's grappling with. Okay, that's my thought on this. I think it'd be really awesome for this group if you told us more about how it went. I'd love to hear more details. Okay, now listen to this. This is so awesome. Okay, this is the update. Oh, it has been wonderful. This is her new favorite game. They have actually been a couple times that she has started to chase the cat and then redirected herself to me asking to play that kitty game. Is that amazing? She much prefers when I am her and she is the cat rather than the other way around. The second time we played, she loved holding me, holding. She loved the second time we played, she loved me holding and holding her and not letting her go. Then she started to really struggle to get away, which is what the cat does, but she wasn't laughing anymore, so I paused the game to check in, which is so great. She assured me she was still having fun and wanted to keep going. This lasted for a while. She would grunt and struggle and was no longer laughing, but when I would ch pause to check in with her, she would emphatically tell me that she was having fun and to not let her go. I think that's about power. That's about her really needing to like push against this and like get really getting something out of it. The energy felt a bit stuck to me though, so I did let her start to get away and then would grab her by the ankle or something, pulling her back and say, "No, no, kitty, stay with me." Caused great gales of laughter, so we kept it that for a while.
So
Finally,
good.
she said to let her go, so I did, and she crawled around saying, "I'm just a kitty looking for a comfy lap." And she instructed me not to restrain her, so we just had a sweet cuddle and her lying on top of me and me gently petting her in an appropriate way for a cat. This is the sweetest thing. When she got up and crawled away, she told me not to keep her there, so I let her go. And then I imagine what it is like for her when the cat chooses to leave her, and I start to cry in a very over the top, dramatic, silly way. And she started laughing and laughed and then wanted to do it all over again. So the mom like kind of listened for another release moment or a thing. The next day we basically did the whole sequence again. I can see in her face how much it is helping her process. Oh my goodness.
That's so wonderful.
That is
I
like
love how
the
she
best.
called it a sequence because she really did go deep with that. That's play therapy right there.
Yeah, she's doing play therapy.
She's fully doing play therapy. Also, there's the powerlessness of the child, but there's also like the real valid fear of the parent being like, oh, this is a violent thing that's happening. But that's the parent's perspective of what's happening. We have to remember that the child is not going for violence. The child's not going for, let me kill this cat. I want this
No.
cat to die. You know, that's
No.
not the child's agenda. And it's so awesome that this parent was able to go with the child's intention, which was to, in some way, reenact or engage with this feeling of powerlessness. And the parent was able to redirect that onto the parent because that's the ultimate power imbalance. And it's really easy for us to see something like that and to go into teaching and to like stopping and suppressing and cutting it off. And the way that she really did reenact the whole sequence multiple times, that's so brilliant. Good for her. And
Yeah,
so
but
much of that was from
here's
the mom.
Yeah, the mom just like picked up on what I said and just like went
Yeah,
with
she
it,
just
and
went
now
with
they're
it.
like doing it. Like, said, now it's their like special game. You know,
It's
I
their
spent
special
hours and
game.
hours doing stuff like that with my daughter,
Yeah.
when she was trying to work out the divorce. We had one of these, you know, they're made of styrofoam. They're like a long log and they're made of styrofoam.
Yeah. You
And
and
you
you would
can hit
hit, you
the
can
punch
hit, yeah.
as hard as you want and it doesn't hurt at all. As she chased me around the house and she would get me on the couch and she would just like go crazy on me. And I would go,
Yeah.
ow, ow, ow. And that would make her laugh so hard. I go, please don't. She'd go, you know, and then we'd switch. I mean, I did a bazillion hours of that. She had
Yeah.
so much anger or whatever the hell. I don't even know what she was working
Yeah.
out, but I do still think it's about autonomy, power, choice. You know, like I think she felt so powerless about our divorce.
Yeah, and
That was.
sadness and abandonment. I mean, she had to
Yeah,
leave
all
you at
kinds of
times
stuff.
and
Yeah.
all kinds of stuff. So to hit
Yeah,
you and to
we
like let that out right directly onto you, I mean, that's so connecting. Like that's what this play therapy is for, is to get you back into connection instead of trying to redirect in a teaching way that's like, don't do it anymore, stop it, or else I'm gonna put the cat in another room, or I'm gonna put you in another room. Well, that just completely cuts off the connection. And there's so many creative ways to maintain the connection and also allow for the thing to expose itself, like to actually come out through the play.
But Kira, by the way, everybody, we did an entire episode on play
You need to
about
listen. It's a
being
must
blocked
listen.
about play. Yeah, you got to go listen. It's all about play. It's like an hour and a half talking about play. But Kira, if someone's listening to this and they heard the Kitty story, right? And they're just like, I don't know how to play. There's no way ever I could
I
ever.
will say that mom freaking knocked it out of the park with those ideas. I don't know. I read that and I was like, damn, I don't know if I'd be able to come up with that. I mean, I would, that's serious. Like that's serious processing and thinking and getting creative. I don't know how the
Yeah.
hell she did that. That's wonderful work.
Right.
And I do really feel that. I mean, I'm thinking about if my kid, 'cause my kid could sometimes get like, no kiwi to our cat. And I'll fall back on the like, oh, like, do you think he likes that? Like I do stuff all the time that's not that helpful. So
Right.
that's really brilliant, and it's okay if, you know, it takes you time to come up with the practice that gets you into a role reversal, like play therapy session like that. That's excellent work, and it's hard to get there, especially with like all of the being under-resourced and all the things, you know, that life throws at
Well,
you.
here's a tip. Here's an idea. I mean, if you have younger kids, but you mean you could. I play with my daughter now, but even with like all the way up to the age of like 8, you can do play. You can play in this way. But like, if you think about the thing that you're triggered about that you don't want your child to do, like the cat is like a living creature. Okay, like it's real. Like she's hurting the cat, you know, or whatever it is. You think it's the food, it's the bedtime, it's whatever. What you want to do is insert yourself in the story and play with it. You can be the bed, you can be the food, you can be and you want to create a dynamic where your child feels empowered and you are the thing that's like the clown. You're like the clown. So like kids love when you can't do things right. So you're like, hey, I want to make the bed. Will you make me in like the bed or whatever? Or like, you know, and then you keep messing it up. You're making the bed and you can't get it right. And they think it's so funny, you know, like to take the thing and to make space to have feelings about it that are non-threatening.
And I think that's really hard for people to do, even me, who like knows how to do this, really, really hard for people to do in the moment.
Yeah.
So I just also want to acknowledge that if your kid is hurting your cat and it's you can't, and maybe even you try what this parent tried and it doesn't work, that's not like a failure, and it's not like you shouldn't give up. You should keep trying different things, and it could be a stuffies thing, it could be a puppet thing, it could be like a, I don't know, you could incorporate magnetiles or cars, or there's so many ways that you can like create a story with something that your kid is doing, and that's how you guide them out of it. But you might have to try a million different things before you find something that lands. And you also said that a lot of it is waiting. A lot of it is just like waiting for this thing to catch up with their system, because she's not going to be 10 and killing the cat, like, or suffocating the cat. That's, you know, it's very unlikely that that would happen. But I think people should not go to the, I'm just going to tell my kid no and put them in separate rooms and we're just going to do that. I think people should continue to try to find a way to use the play therapy lens.
Yeah, because you're trying to work out the underlying need. That's the
Yeah.
idea. You know, it reminds me of my daughter cursed at a very young, I curse a lot. My daughter started cursing at two years old. And she would say, fuck, fuck, fuck. And she would, you know, and I just like joined her. And then everybody would say, if you do that, she's going to go around cursing everywhere. When she didn't, or maybe she did for a very short period of time. And then she didn't grow up being someone who curses at people. Like, that's the thing. It's like, we believe we have to like force these things out of them, but we actually need to play and let them move through.
Move through them.
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly it.
And I also think that there's a like a core thing that people probably hit up against when they listen to our work, which is like, oh, I don't have time to try 17 different things to get my kid to stop hurting. Like, who is the time for that? Like, we have 1 hour before bedtime between food and bed, you know what I mean? And that's true. There's like a lot of investment in the front end of building a relationship with your child. But actually, power struggles end up taking up a ton of time and energy and stress. It's a whole other kind of exhaustion and drainedness when you're power struggling with your child every day. So this is something that once you've invested your time and energy into, you reach these long periods of flow where things are actually so much easier. I mean, my daughter and I have a relationship of total ease, even though I'm triggered out of my mind about a zillion things. Our relationship is very, very easy, especially compared to her friends and her friends' parents who are constantly punishing their kids. Oh my God, it's so painful. I coached someone who has one daughter who is six. And, you know, the person was saying they're homeschooling and their daughter's got found the screen, the iPad, yeah, iPad, and just wants to, of course, be on the iPad all day, all night, all the time, not even want to go to sleep, can barely stop to eat, doesn't want to go outside, doesn't want to do play dates, doesn't want to do art projects. And the mom's really like committed to a non-course of collaborative parenting for 3 years, for the last 3 years. But she's like, I feel like I lost my daughter. Like, I feel like she never wants to play with me. She never wants to do anything. She just wants to be on the screen. And I'm being non-coercive. So, like, I don't know what to do. And I was like, have you tried, you know, letting her know that you're thinking about turning the screen off for an hour in the middle of the day and shutting it off at 8 o'clock at night? I mean, I don't know what her schedule would be. But have you thought about creating a structure and proposing a structure to her and then trying the structure? She said, no, I didn't think of that because I don't want to be coercive. I don't want to force her. And I said, well, this philosophy is not about just having your hands out of everything. It's about collaborating. And part of collaborating is guiding. Guiding. And I have a lot to say about why it's so hard to guide at the beginning of this process, but once you've been doing it, they've been doing it for 3 years. It's time for you to guide. So I made a whole bunch of suggestions for guiding. One was to create a schedule and have them try the schedule and then check in. What did you think? How did it go for you? Write some notes. The next day, they try another schedule.
And
How
try the
about
schedule together.
together?
It's yeah, make everything, every part of this should be collaborative. So you
Right, she
can
was like,
draw the
hey, we can
schedule
make
and do
it.
pictures and make a step by step and try that one day. And then tomorrow the schedule wasn't so good. So what about do you think? And then you do it together the next day.
Or you could even say, hey, I really miss you. I noticed at the end of the day, or her daughter would say, Mom, we didn't hang out again together today. And her daughter would be really disappointed. But when she would go up to her daughter during the day and say, hey, you remember you wanted to hang out? Her daughter would go, no, I'm on my screen. So I said, you got to talk to her when she's not, you know, when she's right before she's going to sleep and you're cuddling and the kid, you know, when there's like open communication, not when she's in the middle of something and say, hey, I want to try this thing. Let's write it down. What do you think we should try? And then schedule and then try it and then have a meeting about it. And I asked her, what do you think your daughter would do if you said, this is my suggestion of a schedule? I'm turning off the screen at this time. Turning it off for an hour in the middle of the day, turning it off to do an art project. Like, what do you think your daughter would do? Do you think she'd start having big tantrums? And she said, no, I really don't think so. I think she would actually be relieved and she'd want to do those things. And I was like, well, then do it. Like, go for it. Like, you know, guide her. We talked about all different ways of like starting art projects and yeah, just like really asserting herself in the process, not forcing, but like getting in there.
There's a very big difference, right? Between forcing and continuing to reflect and really take note of the feedback and be honest about, where you're seeing it and what they're experiencing, and talking and talking and talking. And it's such a difference. Like, you could take this experience and just say, well, just do a schedule, one episode in the morning, one at night. That's it. Turn off the TV when it's over and validate the feelings. They can cry, scream, and lose their mind. And it's going to be hard for a couple weeks, but that's what you should do. That would be the advice that you'd get on the internet today. Because I know, because I've Googled the shit out of this. That's what people would say to do.
That's
Set the
gentle parenting.
boundary. That's gentle parenting. Set the boundary. Don't be a pushover. Don't be a fucking bitch, and set the boundary and fucking validate the feelings, and you're doing great. And that is not what we would advise, because there's a million other ways to also guide and suggest something and follow through with
That's
it
not
eventually.
guiding.
Yeah,
The
that's not
parent.
guiding, that's authoritarianism.
Yeah, and what that creates is you're still controlling your child's body, and they're ultimately going to rebel against that.
And all their resources. And you're saying, because I'm the adult, because I said so, oh, it's okay to cry, but we still need to turn off the TV.
And just because they will follow you, they have to
Yeah, they
do
have to.
say, doesn't mean at some point it's going to become very complicated when they start going
Well,
around you.
I've worked with parents of teenagers who have done that since the kids were little, that gentle parenting, I validate the feelings, we turn it off, we've always had a schedule, and they're 15 and they cannot get off the screen. It's not working anymore, and they're losing it, and they're losing their minds because their kids are big now, and what the fuck are they supposed to do? So this collaborative process,
It didn't work. It just
the
it doesn't
validation,
work.
no, the traditional approaches have not worked. They usually don't work. And if you have younger kids, it's just a matter of time. You'll see some fallout from that approach. But it's so true. I do this all the time with my kid, by the way, with TV. We don't limit it. We don't have boundaries on it. We don't really follow a schedule. We kind of just take it day by day. Sometimes she wants to watch more than others. We'll kind of negotiate at the end. She'll watch her episode. She likes Daniel Tiger, by the way, if you're curious. And she loves that. So she'll be like, I want one more episode. I want one more episode. And I'll be like, okay, cool. Like, how about one more? And then, maybe we'll do slime, which she loves. Or, and then we'll go to the park. And she's like, I'm ready now. And she's like, okay. And then, we're always negotiating. When she's really not having it and she wants to watch more, I'll usually say, okay, cool. Like, seems like you really want more today. No problem. Like maybe after we can make a schedule and see what we want to fit in. I'll talk about time in the morning before she goes to her childcare, because I work, so she has childcare. I'll tell her we don't have time for a lot of episodes today. We only have time for one. Tonight, let's try to squeeze in one. How's that sound? And she'll be like, how about two? And I'm like, okay. Like, we're just always going back and forth. There's no there has not been a need so far to have firm boundaries and limits around screen time, because we just collaborate around when we want to be done with it. And we've also noticed that when she watches more TV, she has a harder day. We have noticed that. That's a real thing that has come up for us. The more TV she watches, the whinier and the bigger feelings she has. It's like it's harder for her to regulate. And so on those days, we try to get outside to shift the energy. And that's what we do. But we don't set a firm boundary and say no more TV because you're going to lose your mind later. And because we know what's best, we just try to shift the energy, and we try to collaborate on like what that might look like. Maybe it's even a bath with glow sticks, or maybe it's jumping on the bed, or we try to get her to release some of that energy that's so obviously pent up when she's just sat around watching, TV for most of the day. That does not tend to go so well for her. But we don't go with the firm boundary thing. We try to do a collaborative thing, and it's not always perfect, but we both are happier for it.
I was just going to say something that I think is really important. Kara and I are both really devoted to this collaborative approach, and there's so many beautiful gifts that come from it every day, really. We talk about them a lot. We leave each other messages. But there's a lot of things that just they probably don't look very good from the outside. And just because we're doing this doesn't mean it looks all perfect and great and now it's going so well and it's like parenting's hard, living in this world is hard, being a tween is hard, being a toddler is hard. Like it's hard, and I don't control my daughter's screen time. And sometimes I really, really, really miss her. She's on the phone with her friends for a million hours. That they do video calls and they all talk in groups. And I'm so happy that she's doing that. I'm so happy that she has friends. And I'm so, you know, and so she, it used to be that she was scrolling and watching the you know, Instagram all the time. Now it's that she's talking to her friends all the time, which I prefer, you know. But like sometimes you're a parent and you don't get what you want. Like you're trusting their process and you do miss them. You do miss cooking together and you do miss doing our, like it doesn't turn out great just because you're like you're not controlling the shit out of them. It's not like, well, I didn't control my kid and then she does everything I want. It's like there's still stuff I have to work through because I, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, what it is. She's not like a, she's not some idea of a person in my head. She's her own person. She's
She's
doing
her
her
own
thing.
person.
I have all these ideas about how it was going to look and all the things we were going to do, and I still have to reckon with that.
And the flip side of all of that is that cooperation does tend to follow when you take this approach. Because your kid is not performing for you. They can just be who they are and they know that they're safe inside of your relationship. And so they want to work with you. They want to work with you. They don't have to work against you. They don't have to expend that energy. They know that you're going to listen and that you're going to be there
And they
to
need you and
find.
they want to be close to you. Right. Like, right. So I spent all day pulling on my kid and then she did want to, and then when I let go, you know, like she does want to do karaoke with me for an hour in the bed. You know what I mean? It's like, that's the thing is like, you know, it might not be the idea of closest that we had. It might be a toy. Your kid wants to gift you with something else.
This has been Your Kids Don't Suck. You can find me, Kara Tedstone, at www.karatedstonetherapy.com and on Instagram at Kara Tedstone Therapy. On my website, you'll find links to recommended readings and a link to my Reparenting with Mindfulness workbook, available now on Amazon.
You can find me, Rathia Lee, at www.rathia.com. That's RYTHEA.com. There you'll find published books, articles, and music and parenting videos. Also, I'm on TikTok at Rathia Lee, on Instagram at Rathia Lee. You can book parent mentoring sessions with me through my website. And also, I have an Advice from a Loving Bitch YouTube show that helps people heal self-hatred, and that's rathia.com/advice. It is important and essential to put our voices, Rathia and Kara, in a context. We are two white, cisgendered, straight, middle-class women living with financial and societal privilege. Because of this, our perspectives are limited and do not reflect the realities of all of our listeners. This podcast will feature guests with expertise around conscious parenting who differ in race, class, abilities, sexual orientation, and histories from us to broaden the conversation and reflect the lives of as many people as possible. 25% of the proceeds of this podcast will go to creators of color who have been mentors and influences on our work and in our growth as parents.
If you like our show, please subscribe and stay tuned for more conscious parenting advice and insights. And check out our link tree at linktr.ee/yourkidsdontsuck to donate and connect with us.